Hi, this is Baby Doll, and you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D, from his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
All right, folks, welcome, welcome, welcome to, what are we doing, Jimmy? Oh, yeah, this is Live and in Color, Wolfie D, and Jimmy across the street, and y'all, I don't feel too good, and, you know, I just got my hip replacement, and I've been home for about a day, and, yeah, we're gonna work through this, though, Jimmy, we're going to work through it.
I want to know how many of these fly-by-night podcasters can come straight out of total hip replacement surgery and do a podcast. That should be, yeah, I don't think none of them either. I think that should be the new litmus test for if you're a podcaster. Yeah, I'm just saying. Wait a second. I'm a podcaster. I don't want to do that. Never mind. But seriously,
well, you had a pretty major surgery, too.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty major. But the beauty of that one is we got them all done before. Remember?
That's
we, like,
true.
Crammed in a bunch of them. And then I was like, dude, I'm about to be down for a minute. Let's knock some out. But
people like George Weingroff thinking, had me thinking I was going to just walk up at that motherfucker after it was over.
After Ahmed Johnson tears your leg out of the socket.
Yeah. Oh, man. So anybody considering getting hip replacement, just know that it ain't no fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how are you feeling though, bro?
It hurts, man. Like I told you, I had to stay one night over, which was planned. And actually, I could stay the second night, but I was pretty much ready to go home at that point. Getting, you know, small town, small pharmacies, that kind of thing. Had some issues getting my medication to go home with, and that was a pain in the butt. But pain medicine was a pain in the butt.
Yeah. But,
and you can hear my voice from the breathing tube. That's, you know, not cool either, but it is what it is, man. But I guess I got a brand new shiny hip, like you said, and it's supposed to get better. Jerry Lynn sent me a message too. He said it'll be bad for about 2 weeks, then you'll be all right. I'm like, 2 weeks? Do this for 2 weeks.
Give me something better than that, Jerry.
Yeah, man. Come on.
That is something that you can go to with a lot of your fellow people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of your fellow veteran wrestlers have gone through this. You know, you talk to George Weingroff, you talk to Jerry Lynn. I mean, so many people have gone through it. So have you talked to Dirty White Boy?
He didn't have his hip, though. He just had his back.
Yeah, I know. But have you talked to him?
Yes.
Yeah. Sure, he checked on you. So.
Yeah. And Joel.
Yeah.
Dayton, Eugene, Nick Dinsmore.
Nice.
People have hollered at me just to check on me. So.
That's good, man. That's good. Yeah. A lot of our listeners were pulling for you, too, man. So
yeah. I've seen all the stuff on Facebook. So.
Yeah.
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah,
but we got Baby Doll today. That's our 80s childhood right there. You know,
I totally
work with her, but I obviously know her stuff, man. So this should be cool. I know you in it, you know, some WCW, Mid-Atlantic, Crockett, all that stuff.
Oh, you know, I'm fired up, man. But I mean, the two crushes we had as kids, Baby Doll and Miss Elizabeth, right? Come on. So, I mean,
wrestling.
Yeah, dude. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, and Baby Doll is literally just part of our childhood, man. Just part of our younger days, man.
And wrestling history in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
About it. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I haven't heard a lot of podcasts with her on it. I know she's done other ones, but I didn't listen to any of them. But I mean, I'm just saying, but, I haven't heard any of them.
Me and you do it different. So
we'll
make sure this is not your normal Baby Doll shoot interview that you may have seen on YouTube.
Exactly. This is totally different. This is Wolfie D.
So we're gonna make it
color
like
stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Sure. Yeah.
So let's get her on the phone.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages with Baby Doll.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time: the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, folks, we're back. And man, Jimmy, again, you know, we've got a great guest. We always have great guests. And this one, man, this is my childhood right here, man.
I mean,
this is pretty cool stuff here. And without further ado, I'm not going to sit around here and beat around the bush. I am so honored to have the Perfect 10 baby doll on Live and in Color with Wolfie D. How are you doing today, ma'am?
I am awesome. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is so cool.
Thank
we
you.
Met, I well, believe, at the Ric Flair, the Ric Flair's last match, and
yeah,
we kind of
yeah.
talked about doing the show, so
yes.
we finally put the pieces together, and here we are.
Nice.
Absolutely, and I'm telling you, I'm honored, and I really appreciate your time here today with us. A couple of things I wanted to say that I didn't know, and things like this, like, and I know, you know, you got out of the wrestling business, you've been out for a while now. First thing, you know, talking about Ric Flair's last match and meeting you there, that was just a really cool atmosphere, you know, and I hate it when it was, you know, people were kind of knocking it and all that. And I'm like, what in the hell kind of match did they expect? But unless you were in the arena, you know, and I was standing
right.
in the back, I didn't want to watch it in the back on the TV. I wanted to go out into the crowd.
Exactly.
Man,
exactly.
The electricity
yes.
in that building was incredible. And, you know,
it was.
I grew up in that town and saw a lot of wrestling there. And that shit was on. You know what I mean?
Well, and even the whole show leading up to it, they
yeah.
had done such a good, I mean, Conrad above and beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Standing applause for everything that he did and how he put it together and just. You know, it may not have been for everybody, but for those of us that were there, it was priceless.
Yes,
and I haven't seen the video of it because, you know, I was there. I was sitting like right behind Undertaker,
uh-huh.
like Kid Rock is to the left of me. And just mm-hmm. the whole atmosphere and being like seven rows back and getting to see the Luchas and Vicky Guerrero throwing money at the ring because the match was so good. And then the lead up and Andrade
yeah.
and the whole thing. It was just,
yeah.
oh my gosh. And you had Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. Everything
yeah.
fit so perfect. So, you know, it's Flair. It's not the end. And of course, he's always going to talk about having one more, but that's
yeah,
Flair and. And Flair loves life. I mean, if we could only love life half as much as Ric Flair does, we
yeah.
would all be blessed. Because, man, that guy is still styling. I mean,
yeah.
you don't see him.
Right.
I mean, every day he's still posting something where he's dancing and drinking and snizzing and dripping and the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you shit on somebody that's enjoying the best life that they can? And then AEW, they get all so pissed off. Oh, boo-hoo, Flair said something about the girls going up to
yeah.
him. Did he say anything illegal? He didn't say 15
no.
and 14-year-olds. He's,
no.
you know, the 18. Oh, my God. They're just like, oh, I can't believe he said it. I'm pissed off if they didn't say it. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So
Amen. Amen.
Exactly. yeah, man. The atmosphere was just incredible and just all the, you know, the guys that showed up, you know, to watch him, Foley and Taker and everybody, man. It was just
exactly.
super cool. And
exactly.
I will be honest with you. That was probably being able to, you know, Road Dog's my buddy and Jeff's always been my friend, and they got me in that battle royal and then got me to be, you know, I didn't do shit, but be called a producer for a match, and to see my name on the credits of Ric Flair's last match pay-per-view. Oh man, that was pretty darn cool to
timeless. Timeless. You know absolutely what I mean? Timeless. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But enough about me and my producer. So what is, I'm curious, what is a day in the life of Baby Doll today in 2024?
Oh Lord. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, it's gonna seem so mundane, but it really isn't. I get up like 5:30 every morning. Uh-huh. I have coffee and I have a 9-year-old. He's actually my husband's grandson and I've had him for like 5 years. Uh-huh. So he's like my little boy. And so we get up and like this morning was the first day back after Christmas break. So it was a little rough getting him up at the 6:20 to get to the bus. Yeah. And then I get my husband lunch. He works, big machinery and construction and clearing land and the whole thing. So I get his lunch ready and get him out the door. And then I feed and let out my chickens. And then I've got 3 dogs and 3 cats. I got to take care of them. And I've got 2 slam buddies I'm getting out in the mail today. So I've got to get them packaged up and out to the post office. Yeah. I do my pictures and sign outs for that. I do about a podcast at least twice a month, maybe. I'm pretty good on the podcast.
Awesome.
And then start cooking supper because I do home-cooked meals every day.
Yes.
And my little boy gets home and he has a snack and homework and I do the mom thing and then husband comes home and has supper and that's my day. So
that's pretty cool.
I'm blessed. I did like 22 shows last year, so interject a couple of shows in there and flying out and having the suitcase open. And it's kind of a double life, but pretty much a farm girl life right now.
Yeah. It's awesome.
You're domesticated mommy doll. We'll call you that.
Yes. Well, I have like, I guess I've got like 65 chickens now. I haven't counted recently, but I know there's over 60.
Yeah.
And then I've got the 3 dogs and 3 cats and a 9-year-old. I mean, right there, that's busy. Yeah. And then I'll get the garden going here pretty quick. I'll start getting the pots and the land ready. I'll have a big garden this year. And year before last, I canned tomatoes with my father-in-law. And we had done the 2 big gardens. So we picked everything. We did over 90 quarts of tomatoes. And when we figured out that was more than 25 gallons of tomatoes.
Wow.
Farm girl life for baby
so,
girl.
Let me say this and interject this because this is so timely with what you're saying. So you have that many chickens. Did you know that I am basically today years old knowing that you did not have to put farm fresh eggs in the fridge? My father-in-law raises chickens and he gave us a whole thing and it had been sitting out and I'm like, wait a second. And he's like, if you wash them, you got to put them in the fridge. But until then, okay for a little while. And I was like, it doesn't, but I love farm fresh eggs. They're great. You know? So,
I don't want to, I mean, you can leave them out. They say like for 2 weeks easily.
Right. Right.
But with all the chickens I've got, we use them because I feed them back to the chickens and I also feed them to the dogs, especially when it's cold out like this.
Yeah.
My husband also knows now this is, oh my gosh, y'all are going to think I'm so country. I grew up in West Texas. So in West Texas, my mom was really into health foods and fitness and everything in the 70s, even before it was like really chic. And in fact, you can hear one of the roosters now. So, but we never can. So I went on YouTube and actually taught myself how to can because out in West Texas, it's so hot in the summertime. Canning was just not feasible because we would cook. So I taught myself how to can. So my daughter, Samantha, loves pickles. So I've been teaching myself how to do the pickles. And they're not hard, but they're not easy. You've got to do them just right. Well, I got the bread and butter ones down to a science.
Nice.
I was I was trading for moonshine for my pickle.
That's amazing. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And then I saw an ad on Facebook Live where this guy was selling all these big flower pots, like the ones that trees come in. Yeah. And those are hard to come by. Well, he was a landscaper, and he had a whole shed full. So I went out to go, you know, buy all of his pots that I could fit in my car. And so I pulled up to his house, and I'm talking to him. And then his wife comes out, and she says, "Do you know how to make pickles?" And I mean, just as country as cornbread, like yelling off the porch. I was like, "Yeah, can you help me?" And I was like, "Yeah." So I showed her how to make pickles. It's just right out of the random blue, like showing someone how to do pickles. And then my husband, I go out for an hour, and like 6 hours later, I show up and, yeah, you're not going to believe where I've been. It's okay.
Man, you should market that, baby doll pickles.
Jeez. I love it.
Exactly. They're good. And I do really good pickled eggs, too. Pickled eggs are awesome.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You should look into that for real. I guarantee people will buy that from you. Seriously.
Flair back when we were flying with Flair on Crockett's jet.
Yeah.
I would make salsa. I was making pico de gallo back like in 1980, like even before pico de gallo was a thing. I was making pico de gallo frying up chips and taking them on the plane with us because there was really no place to get food, and they didn't have a flight attendant or service or anything, and it was just basically crackers and water that was on the plane. So I would score the big points, and I would make like gallons of salsa to take on the plane. So,
but
Blair said that I should have packaged that back up then, and we never. I was too busy; I couldn't figure it out.
Well, now's your chance. Now's your chance.
Yep.
You should make your own little condiment line there.
Well, yeah.
Something else that was new to me, and I don't know how long this lasted for you, but. Did you say it on Andrea the Giant?
Andrea the Lady Giant. Yes, that was what World Class had come up with because they wanted my character to be like this really big badass, you know, bodyguard. China before there was China. You know what I'm saying? Okay. That's what they wanted. And I'm like 5'10" and athletic, and I could, you know, if I wore heels, I can get up like 6'2" if I wanted to, but it's just kind of clunky.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the Andrea because I was friends with Andre, and I thought that was disrespectful to him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's no other Andre. No one else should be Andre, Andrea, Androgyny, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's just to me. And so if you notice, I don't think I ever said Andrea. The announcers pretty much were calling me Nicola by the end of it because they knew my name and it just didn't make sense, you know. And Nicola, what's wrong with Nicola? Nicola's much more impressive than Andrea, so.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
But, let me tell you this.
It worked out.
This happened last week. George Weingroff, a good friend of mine, he sent me a poster, a wrestling poster, a picture that was, I guess, like, I don't know if it was the premiere of this Iron Claw movie or it was just at a certain movie theater. He didn't take the picture, but he got it from somebody. So his name's on the card, and that's what I thought he sent it to me for, was the, you know, it had Von Erichs on it, and then obviously, and then it had his name. And I sent him back, "Hey, cool, that's pretty cool that you're on it." And then he told me the backstory, and I'm kind of reading it, and I saw Andrea the Giant, and at that point I had not looked it up, and I had no idea that was you, but just last week was the first time that I had ever heard that name, and I was like, I wonder who that was. and I absolutely found it out this morning.
That's crazy.
That's funny because doing interviews and stuff, people have said, well, why haven't you gone to WWE? And I really don't know because I've never had anyone tell me, well, we won't take you because of this. But I've just heard of like rumors of like what was said of, oh, what about this girl or what about baby doll or whatever. And the rumor that I had heard was that Hunter had said that I was too territorial, that I was too of this down south, that I couldn't really change my character. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking there's not much of a change of character between Andrea and baby doll.
Yeah.
just saying, that's one like side that. Of the coin and then the other side of the coin. So
I
could have adapted, but you know, they just didn't give me a chance, but that's fine.
Yeah.
And they've always been like that for a lot of the Southern guys, you know, or girls.
Yeah.
But the whole, you know, I guess the Southern, especially like, you know, if you came from Memphis, they think all we did was ha ha and all that mess. But that's not true. And and it's almost like the whole North South thing. They think we're dumber than they are, which ain't freaking true neither.
Right. It was, and definitely like on some of the tryouts and stuff and some of the comments, you hear them like saying, you know, like, you know, you can tell they've worked Memphis and that's the Memphis style and different. And it's not in a good way. But for us, I mean, that is a compliment because we know, you know, unless you've done territories and work shows where you have to, you know, where you have the same town. With my dad's town was every Wednesday for over 20 years. You have to do storylines, and some of it's silly and some of it goes off the wall in the whole thing. But you know what? People talk about it and it keeps the interest rather than just the same thing. That's the whole thing with wrestling is you just never know what you're going to get on a card. And that's the beauty of it. And people say, well, it's exclusive and y'all cut people off and da da da. No, I think professional wrestling has hired absolutely everybody at one point or another.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Let me hot tag you, man.
All right. I'm taking the hot tag in. Here we go. So, all right. So the shot put. Let me ask you this, Nicholas. What makes shot put good wrestlers? Because, I mean, think about it. Jim the Anvil, Kerry Von Erich, and you all have that shot put background. What about a shot putter makes a good professional wrestler?
I don't know. It was, I guess, just the athleticism of it. And then, because my deal was more discus. I actually set the school record in discus, but I did shot and discus. Kerry helped me with my throw whenever I was a senior in high school, and it actually helped me beat the school record. Just that little deal with my – I never thought, because you're just throwing, you're throwing. But he showed me, like, on my right hand how to just barely twist your hand and put your little finger into it. Actually just pushed it that much further and got me the record.
That's awesome.
I don't know. It's. I think we're just athletes to begin with.
Sure.
You know, because there's a lot of football players and track stars and baseball and just overall athletes. It's just wrestling is violent theater. I think it's just athleticism that's violent. You know.
Yeah.
No, that's so a great way to say it. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I just saw that, you know, comparison there of the some of the more famous shot putters in the world as far as pro wrestlers. And I was like,
I saw pictures where Brock Lesnar's daughter set the school record for college and just shattered it. So I'm happy. Oh, man, she's beast. She's going to. I don't think that's the last record she's going to beat.
No, I agree. She looks just like him, too. It's crazy. You know,
Right.
Did you play any daughter, other sports?
Sam and I have two daughters, and our oldest daughter looks just like him, too. Like him.
Yeah. Does she do the little dance with the hat?
She's a musician. She's an excellent musician, so she's got kind of his musical things. But no, not quite the little dance. She was more of the punk rocker.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
More jumping bit like, and
yeah okay, that's cool. Sorry, Wolf, you were asking something.
No, did you play any other sports growing up?
Oh my gosh, I lettered in every sport I went into. I lettered. I was in volleyball, soccer, and track. I lettered 3 years in high school in volleyball, 3 years in track for shot put and discus. And then the last 2 years of high school, I did soccer, and we won city, and I lettered both years in that. So I actually had the letter jacket, like with the letters down the arms and the medals and the whole thing. Yeah, I was pre-pimped out, and then I was disappointed because I think my mom actually threw my jacket away one time. She got mad because I moved and left a bunch of stuff at her house, and she got mad and threw everything out, so thanks, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
That's cool.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
She kept my brothers. Yeah, and I know that this is It's kind of funny. I know it was her because she left my brother's jacket, and these were two jackets that were in the front hall, and I knew where they were because it was a special place, and we knew we could keep them, and nobody would mess with them. And my brother's jacket was still there, but mine was gone.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is, you know how you see all the wrestling posters, and, you know, they're going anywhere from like $50 up to like $5,000 for some of the, you know, the actual cardboard window cards. My brother and I put out 65 cards every week for forever, you know, from the time that we could drive on, you know, on, that was one of our jobs. We would put out window cards. And that's I would stash one back because, you know, you take one down and then you put the current one up. So we'd end up with 20 or 30 cards from the previous week. Well, I'd always try and save two or three because I thought these are really cool because the artwork and the whole thing. Yeah. And my mom would throw them away every single frigging time. And I literally at one time had hundreds. I could have really seriously put my kids through college on all the programs and posters I had saved and my mom had thrown away.
That sounds like
I was not my mother's favorite. Let's just put it that way.
Well,
my partner Jamie Dundee, he's got a whole, like, it's like a shed, but he's turned it into a man cave, and it's posters, and it's basically a shrine to himself. But he collected everything, and I didn't collect everything, and I wish I would have. But
I tried to, but I moved around so much that I just lost it, you know, because, you know, there's only so much stuff you can fit on the truck, and then having kids, their stuff comes first. And
yeah,
I've left a trail. I must say that there's a trail all my moves.
Yeah.
So let's get on to a little bit of wrestling stuff here, as far as like,
okay,
let me ask you this. Has it really, and I'm sure it has by now, but like, when did it really sink into your head of basically what a trailblazer you were, first of all, but then being part of some of the most classic stuff in the golden era, you know, Four Horsemen, Ric Flair, all this Dusty. I mean, do you realize like what you meant to the wrestling business and the great people you were around?
No, I am truly humbled every day. You have no idea. Just some of the messages I get, just at the time I didn't realize it at all because we're just going to the next town. You know, we're doing the storyline. We're getting dressed up. We're doing our part. We're making people want to come next time and the time after that, 6 months from now.
Yeah.
It was such a magical time for me being like the only girl, you know. I knew it was special. I didn't know like how special it was because I grew up in the business. So I know that girls doing what I was doing at the time just had never happened. You know, just the whole thing, and the relationship with the guys and how they treated me and everything was just, cause I hear the horror stories from like with Sonny and Missy and some of them.
Yeah.
Of how badly they got treated. And it's boys being boys, but I was so thankful that they kind of saw me as something more because they were like, oh, she's money. Let's take care of her. I was very fortunate in that part that, you know, I don't think that they really wanted to mess up the good thing that was going on. And it was such a camaraderie. You know, the 2-3 years that I was there, you know, it was just we really were looking out for each other. You know, whenever like Darso had gotten hurt and his knee and he was going to be out, you know, they said for a couple of months and we didn't want to break up that Russian thing that was getting ready to, we could see was going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
And he blew out his knee. So Crockett said whatever money we could raise, he would match it weekly. So we all, you know, did 25, 50 bucks every week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whatever we put in, Crockett matched. So then Darso was able to make it through until he got better, you know, and that was unheard of before them.
Yeah.
So for us, I mean, it was, and now I guess it was about maybe 2005, 2006, whenever I was just starting to get back and doing the Fan Fest and the Legends.
Yeah.
And I'd moved from Missouri to North Carolina
because
I could see, like, I really love wrestling and I'd been out of it for so long because of my daughters and I could get back into it, make a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And then I guess I went down to I went to a friend's house, and we had traveled a little bit on the road, and then I went to his house, and he had a pool room. We were going to meet up, and he had a picture of me on the wall, like a big poster, and he had a picture of Francine and like the bikini thing. And I was like, wow, I'm on the same wall with her. I was like, oh, snap. I'm really into shit, you know? So it was, you know, it's at those moments that you're like, that's how it was to someone I didn't even know was a wrestling fan from the time that he was a little boy, to be in that comparison with Francine, with her beauty and what she had done.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, wow. And then I was at a show in West Virginia this past summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working for Gary Dameron with ASW, Excellent Promotion. And so I'm doing the FanFest thing, and this man walks up, and he says, I know you don't remember me, but he says, back about 15 years ago, you and your daughter came up for a show, and he says, my buddy and I were here, and he says, my buddy just loved you. And he said that he didn't have the money to come get a picture from you. Mm-hmm. And so we were standing off on the side, and he says, your daughter came over and said, can my mom help you with anything? And we kind of explained our situation to him. And she was like, she was so sweet. My daughter says, come on over. My mom will take care of you. Whatever you want, she'll sign for you. And she told me what it was. And I signed a couple little pictures. And I remember this guy because he didn't want the big picture. He wanted a small 4x6. And he says, I can put this in my wallet. Isn't that sweet? Okay.
Yeah.
So I signed it and I gave it to him and we took pictures, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, then 15 years later, his friend comes up and the man that I'd sent the picture for had passed away.
Mm.
This is going to make me cry. He said that when he passed away, he wanted that picture laid on his chest
before it got put
in the casket. So I got buried. So when things like that happen and you get the stories and I can remember this happening and then my daughter being a part of it and helping him and just being a part of this man's wallet for like 15 years and then getting buried with him. Oh my gosh. It is so humbling and I'm so blessed and you guys have no idea. It's so cool.
Yeah. Wow, that's an incredible story. I've had people say stuff to me, but I can't touch that one. That's that's incredible.
Right? Oh, you know, I know it, right?
That is something else. Hell, show's over, Jimmy. We're hanging out.
Yeah.
Right. Top that.
Yeah.
All finished.
That was awesome. God bless him. Do you remember the name?
I don't remember his name. I've got him on Facebook, and see, I'm horrible with names. If you hadn't have asked me, I could have done it. But no, I'm horrible with names, but I could do that, because it was up at Gary's show. And I've got pictures with him, too.
That's
amazing. That's an incredible story, for real. It's one of the best ones I've ever heard, as far as that goes. Jimmy, go ahead, man.
So, you know, obviously you grew up in the business. You know, you talked about hanging flyers and posters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a funny story that I heard that basically you called David Manning on the side, like in a secret, and got the job in World Class. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. I had a kayfabe was so, I mean, it was gospel. I mean, it was our Bible, kayfabe. You just didn't let anybody know about our business.
Right.
And we didn't let any, it was a closed society. And you, by God, had better not tell anyone or smarten anybody up, because then that would disenfranchise you from everyone else. Because then you couldn't be in there. So my parents are talking in the kitchen about that, about business and things like that. And so I'm just like in the living room and I'm hearing that they're looking for a girl for Gino, that, that they had Stella Mae. Sunshine had gone off to rehab and was only expected to be gone for about 90 days or so, and then was expected to come back, and that they just had Stella kind of filling in until then. Well, back then the guys didn't touch the girls at all.
Right.
It was just taboo. So here, Gino had this nemesis of Stella, but he couldn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking for a girl to bring in to help him, because then she could touch Stella, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So I was thinking, wow, that's perfect for me. And so I'd had this huge crush on Gino anyway. So of course I'm going to do everything I can to see as much of him as I can and, you know, just spend time. So I actually stole my dad's black book. He had, remember the black books that has everybody's number
in
them?
Oh, yeah.
I got his black book and went down to a boyfriend's house and used his phone and called the Dallas office. And because they had the sportatorium and then they had the office number and then they had Fritz's number. So I called the office number and David Manning answered. And I'd known David because David and I had worked forever. And he did a lot of the merchandising for the Von Erich stuff. So I would always get T-shirts and new pictures and all this merch to sell for Von Erich. So I talked with David often. And I was just like, hey, what about me? And gave him the whole spiel. And, you know, you're looking for a girl. And I think I'd be perfect. And they were just looking for, he said that they were looking for a girl and that they were getting ready to go to a meeting upstairs with Fritz. That he loved the idea and that he was going to run it by Fritz and give him about a half hour to an hour, and he called me right back. Okay, so wait. Sure enough, 45 minutes later, I get the phone call, and David said that Fritz absolutely loved the idea, that I would work out perfect with it. So, yeah, that is absolutely true, and I started the Sunday before Labor Day in San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah. So no wonder she threw away your Letterman's jacket. So.
Well, yeah. And then I had to tell him, too, that I had to quit school. I was going to Texas Tech, their health science center, to be an EMT because I wanted to be a paramedic.
Okay.
So I had 2 weeks left to go in the class. I was like fourth out of the class. I was doing really well. And I had to tell my folks that, yeah, I'm quitting all the school, the 4.5 years I've had at college, and I'm going to move to Dallas, and I'm going to, yeah, work with professional wrestlers. Yeah, that did not go over well.
Have you ever had to use your EMT skills on one of the boys in a match or something?
I glued a guy's head shut with super glue one time.
Yeah, I guess that counts.
Sure, yeah. Stopping the bleeding, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on top of the head. And it was good. It was about a 4-inch gash.
Yeah.
And he didn't have enough money because we're figuring at least 6 stitches. And when you're figuring stitches, it's back then it was like $100 a stitch. We're like, that's at least $600. And he's doing construction and painting. He's like, that's like a whole 2 weeks. And I've got a kid coming. I can't do this. So I was like, well, take me to the store. I'll buy some super glue. So we got super glue and I glued his head shut.
Yeah.
It worked too.
Yeah. I've actually.
And he didn't have to cut his hair.
There you go.
That's a big plus right there.
Yeah. I heard a story. David Isley told me a story one time about Chris Champion with the karate kick right to the lip and busted his lip. And he came to the back and Flair was like, who did that, Isley? And he's like, I don't want to say. It's nobody important. You know, you don't worry about it. He's like, no, tell me who did it. And he said, Champion hit me, caught me. He didn't mean to do it. He said he was sorry and stuff. He's like, well, here, take $100 and get that fixed on the way home. And then apparently he gets on the, y'all used to use walkie talkies because of the separate dressing rooms. And
he said,
Chris, get Champion on the line here. Chris, if you got to learn that we can't hurt these guys. We don't have enough of them as it is. Anyway, my whole point of that is I'm sure you've seen a lot of crazy stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, it was like whenever Sam and I hadn't started dating at all. This was whenever I first got into Crockett territory, and we were working in Fayetteville. And I remember Dusty telling Sam to make it look good because Sam was going to get color in the match because Tully was going to use one of my spike bracelets.
Mm.
So Tully hits Sam with the bracelet. Sam takes the powder out of the match. And whenever he comes up, he has like from hairline to hairline all the way across. He's actually cut his bangs and there's like this straight curtain of blood coming down.
Oh, so my 20, God.
23 stitches.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yep. He made it look good.
$2,300.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think Crockett picked that up because Dusty told him to make it look good. So they had to cart him off. But it looked good because they actually had to do the ambulance and everything. So super heat for Tully and I.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Hey folks, this is Wolfie D here, and if you are looking to buy or sell a home in Tennessee or Southern Kentucky, you're going to want to call my buddy, the rock star realtor, Benji Bowie. And you say, Wolfie, how do I get in touch with this rock star? Well, you can call him directly at 615-390-8216. You can go to his website, BowieHomes.com, that's B-U-I-E, homes.com, or you can email him at BenBowie34@gmail.com. When you need a home, you need the Rockstar Realtor.
Benji is a member of Exit Realty's Garden Gate team in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Okay, well, that leads me to a question because you just said Tully. So, okay, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Obviously, one of the gentlemen is no longer with us, but Gino or Tully, who was your favorite, absolute favorite to manage out of those two?
Oh, without a doubt, Tully. Tully taught me so much. Tully actually talked to me. Gino was, what you saw on TV was actually Gino. And then I thought I knew Gino until I saw the Dark Side of the Ring episode. And it was like, ooh, I didn't know anything. But Gino kept to himself. Gino, you could tell, was living a double life then. But now it turns out like it was a triple, quadruple, half-hitch life. It was crazy. I didn't learn anything from Gino. I learned so much from Jake that I was so blessed that Jake was there at the time. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been worth crap if I'd gone to Crockett after that. Because Jake taught me like to slow down and look at people and just how to get heat just by little certain things that you do and little quirky things. And I learned so much from like the road trips with Jake. We took a couple of them from San Antonio to El Paso to Laredo and then back up. And, you know, when you're in the van just and there's nothing, you know, just talking.
Yeah.
If you're willing to learn, there's a lot to learn, you know. So
absolutely.
I was lucky. But Tully always wanted to have the very, very best match on the card. Tully always wanted to be the bull of the woods. That's why I think that he and Magnum clashed so much, because Magnum had the automatic friendship, I don't want to say automatic, had the close friendship with Dusty. So he was always kind of Dusty's right-hand man, but Tully always wanted to be right there with Dusty. If you notice how much Tully worked against Dusty, it was all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Which meant that we did jobs all the time. I remember one time asking Tali, I said, can we win like one time? Can we just make this so that, you know, because it's hard if you're, you know, you go 3 months and you haven't won anything except for what was on TV. It gets really hard, but he says, we're making money and that's what counts. Yeah. And we're working against Dusty and that's what really counts.
Yeah.
So, and see, that's how you learn. You know, it's like, oh, well, yeah, you're right. You are right. We are making a lot of money. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. We could be winning, but we're going to be in the third match. We could be losing and be in the last match, which makes more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Last match, of course.
Yeah. So yeah. I told you, I like these rib stories and road stories. Who, give me a good rib you saw or was a part of or that happened to you or something like that, man.
Oh my gosh. Trying to think. I think whenever Arn first got in the territory in Charlotte and we're just Sunday afternoon show and everybody's getting ready and happy and it's a Sunday afternoon show. So yay, we get to go out and actually eat and go out, maybe have a few drinks in Charlotte, you know, on Sunday night, and which was rare, and we're all happy and the police come in. The dressing room, which is like really unusual. Like, okay, what's going on here? And there goes, is there a Marty Lundy here? Mm. And we're all like, who's Marty Lundy? You know, who's Marty? And Arn's over there lacing up his boots. And you know how he looks over those glasses? He said, yeah, that's me. Officer, what's your name? And they go on to tell him about charges that are pending in Florida. And that he's in big trouble and underage girls and parties and dates and times and places. And the color, you could actually just see the color just slowly drain out of his face. Yeah. Because the more that they said, the more it was like, not one time did he say, I wasn't there, that didn't happen. It just was like, oh, it was sucking it out of him. So he was. They were like, well, we need to talk with you outside. So he gets up and he's got like skivvies on and one boot off and one boot on. And he's like, what are we doing? Oh, we're just going to talk to you for a minute. So it's like, oh, they're not even going to let me get dressed. Okay. So you can hear. So we're all like owls. So they leave and we're just like quiet, like mice and owls, and our eyes are huge and we're all trying to listen for every little thing, a bit of what we can find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Because this was good. This was, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
New guys like in big trouble. Huh? You know? And all of a sudden you hear this flare. I'm going to get you. I swear to God, I'm going to get you. Blair had set up the whole thing. They had actually put him in the car right outside the door. And so they're going on and on and on. And Arn thinks that he is like in super big, like, oh my gosh. Here Arn said that it was his first night in the territory. He's got like, he's on like fourth. He's got a really good match. He's going over. Everything looks like so good. Like, hey, I'm getting ready to move to Charlotte. And then the police come. And you could just see that, oh, I'm going to lose everything because of something I did 3 months ago. You know, it was like, oh. But Flair knew everything. He knew, like, where he had been, the show, like, who was involved in the... And Flair knew just enough to interject it in what the police said to where Arn believed everything.
That's my God.
It was classic.
You got to smarten them up beforehand.
Exactly. Exactly.
God, that would suck.
Yeah, just think, like, here you are, like Charlotte is definitely the hottest thing going,
right,
you know, Jim Crockett, the whole Mid-Atlantic, you've been working down Florida Georgia line type thing, you're doing good, you're struggling, you've had just enough to where you know that, hey, if I can make it, I can make some money in this, I just have to be at the right place at the right time. So Arn's thinking that this is the right place at the right time, I'm going over mid-card, I just have to, you know, just nail it, and yeah, the police are going to end everything.
It reminds me, Jimmy, and my listeners know this one, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, but just to sum it up, very similar, but this was not a rib. One of my exes got mad at me and Jamie and thought we was going to party,
and we were actually going to Beverly's house, his mama, and to eat before the show. And we get to the show, and Jamie has Dundee tattooed across his back, right?
And, okay.
My ex had called the police and said she knew he had warrants for child support. She told him where he was going to be and everything. So we're at the matches and in the dressing room, and all of a sudden, here comes two cops in there. We're looking for Jamie Dundee.
Everybody's oh, Lord.
And he's got his shirt off and his back to him. And we're all going, no. Does anybody know Jamie Dundee? The cops look over, they go, is that him with Dundee on his back? And he got arrested. So.
And you look at him and go, your name Dundee?
Yeah, not a rib. He got arrested. So,
oh Lord,
oh, I broke up with her after that.
Because you know you were. If she'd do that to Jamie, just think what she'd do to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Did you know Bill at all, Bill Dundee?
A little bit. I knew Donna and Bobby a lot better. I knew Donna really
sure.
well.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you that. Of course, everybody loves Bobby.
Right.
And we all, when Bobby and Donna separated for that little time, Bobby was in Nashville, and we all lived in the same apartment complex. Me, Jamie, Gypsy Joe, Bobby, and it's Chris Michaels. And,
oh, Lord.
I'll go to the pool, and Bobby was just so good with the kids. You know, remember how he was? I mean, he'd always pat my daughter on the head. Hey, darling, how you doing, darling? All that stuff. Bobby, just what a great guy, man. But
you could just know that he was a good soul by, like, how the kids reacted around him. You just know that he was, like, a really good soul. He just,
absolutely.
No one better.
You got any good Bobby stories, funny ones?
Oh my gosh. Just, I am thankful he took 14 arm drags from me at the Great American Bash in 1986. I mean, he did great. He bumped for me like nobody else.
That's awesome. Of course he would, though. You know, that's just amazing. Yeah.
Cornette and I are politically on like 180 apart from each other. But Cornette to this day will swear that he made more money with me July of 86 than he did with anybody. So I have that jewel in his crown.
That was a great feud. I mean, that was legendary.
It was.
I mean, that's one of the things when I think of you and I think of him, I always think of that feud and that, you know, like just a classic matchup. Honestly, it was just like, I could not wait for you to beat his ass. I could not wait.
And when he says that he got death threats, I saw the death threats because, like, at TBS Studios, the secretaries, actually Teddy Long did a couple of times, would bring us our mail, our fan mail, and I'd have like a little shoebox full. It was cool, you know. It was a lot of fan mail for me, and I mean literally. Rock and Roll Express got like sacks full. So it was really cool. Like you get your little fan mail and you're waiting to go on. So I'm like going through it and you get that like weird letter that doesn't look like everybody else. So I'm like, oh, what is this? And it actually was from prison, and guys were writing to me saying that whenever they got out, that they would be happy to take care of Cornette.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, so I gave them to Cornette. Wish now, because knowing how much like merch and stuff sells, you know, like unique things. But I actually handed him the letters from the prisoners that said that they would take care of him.
I bet he still has them. You know, he probably does.
He's got
that whole museum, you
somewhere.
Know.
Yeah.
Now that's a good question. Okay, so it's kind of a known thing that some of the, how do I word this? Some of the male fans of female wrestlers can kind of get a little icky sometimes. And I would never want to put you on Front Street and have you have to put out people's names and stuff like that. But did you ever have an experience to where you were just like, other than that one, that was just like, man, this is not right. Something's off here. Like,
right. I'm really fortunate, like with my character and how I've kind of portrayed myself. There's no nude pictures of me. There's no like really derogatory, you know, where guys have been able to go that one extra step. So yeah. I've been very fortunate, knock on wood, because I never wanted, at the time I didn't have kids, but I knew that I wanted to have kids later on.
Sure.
I didn't want my kids embarrassed for what I'd previously done.
Right.
So I always kind of held myself up to a higher esteem, you know, like, because I didn't want someone going, hey, guess what? I jizzed all over your mom's face last night. you know, oh, my gosh, you know.
Right.
I've done a lot of dumb stuff to my girls. I didn't want that, you know, to be one of them. Like, oh, mom, you know, there's no amount of money that could make up for that embarrassment, I think, that they would have. And I know, like, with some of the other girls, I mean, they can justify it, like, with ever, you know, like, oh, well, look at this big house I've got. Yeah, but what are your kids going through? You know, and they may not think anything about it. But for me, it meant something. So I've been very fortunate that I haven't had that really weird stuff. Yeah, I've had, you know, asking for the feet pictures and the whole thing, but that's probably like the weirdest thing, because I don't get anything else.
Okay.
I just don't.
Yeah.
You mean you ain't stepped on Tony Atlas's face?
No.
That's his thing. He loves that. You know, I'm not.
Oh, I know. And he will show you the videos, which is just like, tell me, I don't want to see it again. You know, you see it the one time just to kind of go, oh, okay, yeah, that's what I thought it was, good. I don't want to have to. Yeah, if that's his thing and the girls make some extra money, power to him, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
it's just kind of weird. Yeah, I don't think he's got enough money for my thing, but I'd be always hey, I'd be willing to see how much he'd offer. you know, I can always share with my kids. I've got a 9-year-old.
We can listen to offers, but
I guarantee you he'd remember it.
I was at a booth next to this. It was like they were a promotion, and the person that was representing was a girl referee. I guess she was in training still. And Tony was in the same room as we were, and he got her to do it. I mean, she kept asking me, like, what should I do? What should I do? And I'm like, I mean, if you want some money, just don't go. All you got to do is step on his face.
So, right?
I mean, that's up to you, whatever your boundaries are, sister. I don't know.
Just make sure that the money he's offering you is not embarrassing, you know, like make it worth something. So.
Sure. Yeah.
You hear I say, if he asks me, I'm doing it.
Oh, man.
Heck yeah.
I mean, we're all in this to a certain degree, you know, just we got to make that money. So, you know, I can sell 10 pictures or I can step on your face.
Which one do you want?
Exactly.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, one thing I want to talk about, obviously, is Nelson Royal. And so I live in Mooresville, North Carolina. That's where I'm talking to you from right now. And obviously, Mooresville is the home of Nelson Royal. And I know that he had some help with him training you. And then also one of my favorite things that I've seen recently, this little hidden gem that I found, like I said, I've talked to David Isley and Tommy Angel here recently in interviews, and I found this Atlantic Coast Wrestling on YouTube, and you were actually basically like the color commentator on that. And I thought that was excellent stuff. And I just don't understand. And I get it. The territories were kind of at their end, and that was kind of like Nelson's little shot at the territory there. And I just feel like there was so much more to give in that promotion. And unfortunately, it didn't last as long as it should have.
Right. Well, that's unfortunately the deal with promotions, is that it takes a lot of work.
Right.
And then so many of the guys that Nelson was pushing were going on to other promotions and things like that. And you can kind of try and keep them roped in and corralled in, but you know, they're going to go other places because you just don't have the money to offer the contracts.
Sure,
and you can't blame them. You really can't blame them. It was a really fun time. It was working with those guys. And what's really cool with Nelson is that he actually worked with my dad a lot in the 50s and early 60s. I've seen so many posters and ads where Sir Nelson Royal and Nick Roberts worked on the same card together around in like New Mexico and Texas, Oklahoma and Colorado. I've seen probably 20 cards with him on there. So it's really cool to think that Nelson worked with my dad. And then I trained with Nelson up there in Mooresville when Rockin' Robin was training so that she could go on to WWF. And it all works in circles. It's all just cool how it just circle after circle, it just keeps blending.
It really is. It's crazy, you know. And I did recently scare you, and I apologize for that. Of course, Tommy Angel helped hook this up, and thank you, Tommy. And I sent you a message, and in that message it says, Tommy Angel passed, and it was saying passed along your information, and but all you saw was right. Tommy Angel passed A, and you were like, you scared me to death. And I was like, oh, I'm very sorry about that. So,
right. I didn't even open up the message at first because I was like, oh my gosh, we're getting ready to do a show and now this is happening and oh, this can't be happening. And
so
then I went and did like some other social media stuff and I noticed like I didn't see Tommy Angel's information come up. So I was like, well, wonder what that was. And I went, okay. But with me, that's just a moment in my life because I'm blonde and I bleach my hair. So I have those moments all throughout the day. So we're good.
Well, it was my poor wording. Let's say that, to be
no,
honest.
No, there was no other way to put it. It was just how that little tidbit comes through to teach you to open up the message. Well, they got me.
Sorry about that. Sorry, Tommy. He's very much alive.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Real quick here, I want to, again, thank you for your time, and I don't want to, we try not to go over, you know, like an hour or whatever, but one more thing I'd like to talk about before we let you go and wrap this up is, you know, you were talking about, you know, the guy, or was Gino couldn't hit the female and all that stuff, and, you know, one of the big things was when Dusty slapped you, and, you know, the reaction of that.
Right.
And then currently, you know, there's a lot of, especially on the independent circuit, a lot of guy-girl matches and all that kind of stuff. I'm just curious as to what you think, because I actually got into a little debate with a couple that are both in the wrestling business. I'm not going to call them out or nothing, and they probably not listen to me anyway. But because of the, it was, you know, a guy and a girl, like I said, they're husband and wife, and they're beating each other's brains out, not selling none of it. And, you know, they're putting it over like that's the greatest thing ever. And other people are like, whoa, no, you can't, you know. What are your thoughts on, like, I know the business has changed a little bit. I'm not saying it's ever going back to 1985, but the formula has always been the same. And if you, to me, if you sell things and slow down a little bit, it's going to mean that much more. They did probably 6 minutes worth of spots in about 2 minutes. And if they would have just, you know, that was my, I just want to know what your opinion on the guy versus girl thing when, I mean, just Dusty slapping you meant so much at that time, you know?
Right. Well, when Dusty did the slap thing, because I slapped him first, because we're doing the back and forth. And then I haul off and I slap Dusty, and Dusty, out of reaction, just pops me back. Mm. And that, like, it, to me, wrestling has to be, realistic is like what would actually happen in a fight.
Right.
You know, so if I pop a guy in the face, I'd better expect probably going to get popped back. You know, so that made sense. And Dusty was so afraid of that at the time that would instantly turn him heel.
Yeah.
But he told me, he says, you got so much heat. He says, I'd be surprised if it turned me heat. He says, they're going to hate you even more. So, and Dusty was so smart in that, but he was worried. And when you look at that crowd, when he hit me, the women are the ones that shocked me. Cause whenever I was able, like a couple of years ago, I actually was able to like watch it and watch the fan reaction. Yeah. Like women have cigarettes hanging out of their mouths and a drink and they're yelling, hit her again, damn it, hit her. That's unbelievable. You know, to me that I could bring that because to this day, I will stand on it that no woman has had enough, as much heat as I did in this business in 1985. No woman ever had as much heat as I did.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was so much. And then when it turned around, like a year later, or it was about 9 months later, when Tully slapped me, then that was like this antithesis even pronounced, because it's like, look at how much she did for you and you slap her. And then Dusty comes out and he wanted it to look like King Kong and Fay Wray, you know, like he came to the rescue and it all worked out. So Dusty was a genius, and I'm so blessed that he loved me and I loved him back, and we made a lot of money.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
You did.
That's awesome.
What do you think about the today's stuff with there's so much girl and guy and they're making it like
three. Oh, okay. When you're okay, so okay. So the intergender stuff.
Yeah.
See, my daughter wrestles, so it's really hard with her because a lot of cards they won't use her unless she goes against a guy, and she won't do it. She's just like, no, I'm a woman wrestler, and this is, and she's got her standards, and that's fine. This is one of the cool things about professional wrestling is that if you don't like it, you don't have to go to it. So yeah. I'm not a fan of the intergender thing, and a lot of people are, which is. Yeah. It's fine. It's their deal. But there's so many girl wrestlers. Why are you going to put another girl against a guy when you actually have 100 other girls that you, it's not like we're girl wrestler poor. There's literally thousands of wrestlers out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so why degrade it to the point like why would you have a guy? Why would a guy want to beat a girl in the first place?
Yeah.
You know, that's my whole thing. It's like, what does he came from it? Oh, you beat a girl. Good for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, with a girl, you know, like, what does that guy going to do after that? Like, let's say you beat a girl, then where are you going to go after that? But then if you don't, if you put the girl over, then where do you go from there?
Yeah.
There's so many things that it just dead ends it, that once you do that, where do you go from there?
Right.
You know, and that I'm all for, you know, whatever in professional wrestling, because that's what professional wrestling is. You just don't know, from masks to midgets to girls to giants to morbidly obese people to skinny rails. That's what you get. And that's the beauty of it.
Right.
So if we don't like it, we don't have to watch it. And I am not a fan, so I'm not going to go, oh, that was a great match, when I'm not going to watch it in the first place.
Right, right.
I've got daughters, and I don't want some guy thinking that it's okay because for some reason he saw it on a wrestling match where a guy beat a girl, that it's going to be okay for a guy to hit a girl.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
And I'm okay with some, you know, to an extent. I just, with everything, guys, girls, guys versus girls, whatever, just make it make sense is all I'm saying.
Right.
You know?
Well, see, and I'm not a fan of the deathmatch things. The deathmatch go so far, but there's a market for it. So why am I going to go, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's not, when that's your thing, go do it. It's not going to affect me, you know?
Right, right.
Just don't get hurt. Just don't, you know, try not to get hurt.
For sure.
My mother was a professional wrestler. So she wrestled in the 50s. Well, there was a show that I was on that they said that when my mom was wrestling, there was only about 45 female wrestlers at the time when my mom was wrestling. So then whenever I was working, I was one of, what, three or four valets, because you had Fallen Angel, you had Miss Linda, Precious, Sunshine, and myself.
Right.
You know, that was it. So then when my daughter comes along, she is the only third generation female wrestler.
Wow.
There's a lot of third generation on the male part, but on the female, to have a grandmother, a mom, and the daughter, all three females, and she's on both sides. So she's got three out of four grandparents, an Uncle Jake the Snake, her dad's Sam Houston. I'm her mom. Rockin' Robin is her auntie, so no one else. So we've got, it's so cool how the history of going from like 45 female wrestlers to being the only third generation.
That's very cool. What does she wrestle as?
Samantha Starr.
Okay, cool.
Starr. Promoters, Samantha Starr. Please.
Oh, yeah. And she's been wrestling now like 15 years. She's been wrestling since she was 14.
That's awesome.
Yep.
There needs to be, I think I see Charlotte Flair, Tessa Blanchard, and Samantha Starr. They need to get together and maybe, four horsewomen.
Oh, that would be cool. Charlotte's hurt, though. Charlotte's really, really hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She went to school up here in App State, which is just right up the road from me.
Oh, yeah. Went to App. I love it. Boone. So, obviously, we're talking about the old days and how much they all meant to all of us and all of our listeners, and how much, you know. And the cool thing about it is coming up in Charlotte on February 9th, there's actually going to be a Mid-Atlantic Legends Fan Fest reunion. I think they're calling it Mid-Atlantic Mania, and it's Friday, February 9th, 2024 at Hyatt House in Charlotte. It's absolutely free to come in and see everybody. Now, of course, each person will have their own cost for pictures and autographs and stuff. But anyway, tell us a little bit about this, and you're going to be there.
Right. It's part of the NWA Legends. The first one was 20 years ago. So this is actually the 20th reunion, the anniversary show. I believe he's got Chuck Coates and Tommy Angel and David Isley and Mass Superstar Bill Eadie, yeah, and myself. Yeah. It's completely free. It's from 12 to 6 on Friday. So if you're a fan of Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, if you're a fan of FanFest and Legend shows and the whole thing, and you're kind of disgusted by like how much things cost and the whole thing, this is completely free to get in. And then I'm going to offer my pictures like what I normally do, like for $10. There's other $10 photo. It's kind of a step back to nostalgia. So I don't think that anything's going to be ridiculously priced. And cool. It's just going to be a really fun, good time from 12 to 6 on February the 9th.
And I'm definitely going to be there, so you'll see me.
Yay!
Bugging you.
Okay, good deal. We'll have to get pictures and post and the whole thing.
Please, please, yeah, that would be amazing. Yes, but I'm stoked.
So looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Because this is kind of like the anniversary of like whenever I did a show for Greg Price, it was up in DC area at the Capitol Center, and it was. I believe it was like 2005, maybe 2004. I can't remember, but it was. It made me realize like, wow, I can make some money at this. This is fun. I like being with everybody. And It was like one of my very first fan fest and got to see everybody. And then one thing led to another, and then I moved back to North Carolina. So it's definitely so much fun and just one of those memorable experiences. And we'll get lots of pictures and post them. And hey, it's free. You got to show up and just see what's going on.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Sure. I mean, to just hang around in the room is, I mean, it's free to come in the room and just look at everybody. I mean, that's to me, you know, loving the wrestling at the time that we all did, that's enough to make a lifetime of memories right there. And it's just very cool to know that you'll all be together. I know there's more names to be announced. Right. They haven't announced them yet, but I'm excited for it and it'll be fun.
And you look at the lineup so far, it's guys that normally don't make the fan fest and legend circuit. So this is a real good time, especially with your Mid-Atlantic cards. I know that Isley and Angel are on them, that this would be a good time to, you know, have those autographs.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring your
And then everybody
bring your
knows
wares.
Chuck from like Stormtrooper and working with that. So this is good. This is really good.
Do you have any other signings coming up or anything else you'd like to tell the folks about?
January the 13th, this Saturday. I don't know if your show will make it. I'll probably be the show will be after this, but I'm going to be in Lenore. Then I've got Charlotte on February the 9th. Up in Ohio for Bobby Fulton and Dylan Hines in March for their big time wrestling there. And then in May, I'm up in New Jersey for a WrestleCon.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah.
I know, right? Who would think? I did like 22. I want to say I did like 22 events last year. So that was like so much fun and had a lot of, you know, got to take Ryder with me. Ryder made some road trips with me last year. So that was fun. And as long as I promise him a hamburger and French fries afterwards, I think I've got a ride or die with me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. The name fits, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ryder Bird. He's my little boy.
That's cool. That's awesome. Now, was your husband in the business?
Yes, he wrestled as Chad Bird. He worked a lot with WCW, like in the 90s, and then a lot with George South and Stallion up in the Mid-Atlantic area, late 2000s, early, you know, through there.
That's cool. I thought so. He just looks like a wrestler. I was like kind of stalking your page, looking for photos to use for,
That's how we met. We did a AWE show, which was awesome wrestling entertainment up in Virginia.
Okay.
And we met up in there. I believe it was like 2011, 2012, something like that. Uh-huh. And we just started to just text him back and forth because he's a promoter and he ran some shows up here in Hudson, Lenore area, and he wrestled. So we were just texting and hit it off, and everything just gelled. And, you know, we were talking, and he ran some shows, and then got to talking a little bit more, and things happened between him and his wife. And it was just like, well, how long are you going to have people disrespect you? You know, you're a young man, you're in your 40s, and and things led on. And 2 years later, I moved in, and 2 years after that, we were married. So it all worked out, and everybody's awesome. Happy. And
yeah, that's the important part.
And he's been in the business. He understands the business, but a lot of times baby doll can be a lot. You know? why do they keep calling? Like, I don't know. They just do. But, you know, it's like the guy up in West Virginia, you know, like I like to think that I mean something to a couple people, and I like still being in this because I like helping promote my daughter's wrestling career and doing some gear for her and going to her events. And I think that every little bit I can get pushed, it helps her get pushed a little bit more because they put us together and stuff. So, and she's moved down to Florida, so I don't get to see her hardly ever. So this has been 2023 was not a very good year when it overall came to it, because my girls kind of moved away and things changed. But, you know, that's the way it goes as a parent. You know, you hope they survive on their own, but then you have that moment of like, they don't need me anymore. So, yeah, I had that moment this year.
Oh, they need their mom.
That was rough. That's still rough. I still cry over that one.
Yeah.
My babies don't need me.
That's good. At least you're happy. It sounds like, honestly, like you had having a really good life. I mean, you obviously had a great wrestling career. Now you're just having a good domesticated mommy dog.
I always have a good time. It's you know, like you bring up my husband. We've got like our front yard is a solid acre for a front yard. So we've got big front yard. Wow. So to walk out to the mailbox, it's not a long walk, but it's a nice walk. So
right.
I go out to get the mail, and like 45 minutes later, he's like, where have you been? Looking at flowers and butterflies.
That's
and
great.
I have been, because I get diverted, and we've got a lot of gypsum in our yard. So like shiny, pretty rocks and butterflies and coneflowers and the whole thing. So I'll go turn over rocks just to see what's underneath it for bugs and stuff. So
yeah. Such a that's just like the dream. I think everybody just wants to be able to live a happy life. I mean, that's just it. Yeah.
And you want a funny story? So I saw the ad for Aquaman came out a couple of years ago, right?
Right.
So I was showing my writer Jason Momoa, you know, and so my husband goes, well, you know that guy's been driving past our house like all summer. I'm like, no, he hasn't. Jason Momoa has been driving past our house. You just think Jason Momoa is. And he says, no, really, he's friends with Madison. And Madison Bumgarner is our neighbor. And sure enough, they're friends. And sure enough, Jason Momoa had been driving up and down our road all summer, and no one told me.
Man.
I would have thrown a chicken at him. Stop.
Madison Bumgarner is your neighbor. That's amazing, too. Oh, my God.
Okay, check
this out.
I can
throw a rock and hit his house.
That's amazing.
I'm in Caldwell County. This is Madison Bumgarner. And my little boy goes to, does basketball down in Granite Falls, where Eric Church is from.
Oh, wow. Yeah, of course. That's awesome.
So listen to this. You said Jason Momoa was driving by your house. So here's what a small world. Before I moved to where I'm at now in Somerset, Kentucky, I was right outside of Knoxville in Maryville, Tennessee. Okay. My 9-year-old, that's where he lives, okay? And his mother, and this ain't been, Jimmy, I don't even know if I told you this, but I'll send you the picture.
Okay.
I kind of just forgot about it. So his mom texts me, and she's like, you're not going to believe what my mom's telling me, blah, 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 blah. And they live, like, they got a big, like a log cabin house. I mean, it's a nice little area and stuff like that. And her mom's telling her that she's met Ricky Steamboat. And I'm like, Ricky Steamboat in Maryville?
Oh, yeah. He just moved out there.
Yeah. So, I had, like, I've only met Ricky one time. Okay. So I don't really know him or anything. I didn't know where I didn't figure he lived in Maryville. That's but, right. But yeah. So she's like, does he live? I said, man, I don't know. I said, maybe. Well, all of a sudden she sends me a picture and it's Ricky and his kids and his wife. And they're on this little, it weren't like regular bicycles. It was the ones where you put the kids on there with you and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And they're riding up and down their street by her mom's house, and her mom cleans houses for a living. And so that's how she started talking to him, because evidently Ricky knows somebody that she cleans houses for. So
isn't that great? See, look at the circles.
I know.
I'm telling you, they make circles.
She sent me a picture and she goes, because my ex didn't really know what Ricky looked like. And so she sends me this picture of him on the bicycle with kids. And I go,
oh, Lord.
That's Ricky. That's
and he looked just the same. I mean, he's got that really pretty gray hair and just smiling. Yeah. And yeah, I saw him at the, I've seen him a couple of times last year. Super nice guy. Super nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been fun.
Hey, thank you so much. Say it again together, Jim.
Go ahead, buddy.
All right. Thank you, baby doll. Thank you, listeners. And we will be right back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. I'll see you next month.
All right. Sounds great. We'll see you. Take care.
All right. Super duper. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, DJ, hit that music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything, and Wolfie's limping. He ain't pimping, he's limping with a new hip, and we just talked to Baby Doll. Man, you're a trooper, brother.
Yeah, man, I do what I got to do.
Yeah, well, we do what we got to do here. We make it happen. But anyway, we got some cool questions. But first of all, man, Baby Doll, she's awesome, dude. That salsa that she made for the Four Horsemen, I want to try that.
I swear, she needs to market it.
Baby Doll Condiments or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. There's got to be a better name than that. But
yeah, for sure.
but we got some good questions, man. You know, we put out the call for more questions. Let's re-up some questions and get some new ones in. And so I think these are some good ones, and I'm excited for you to answer them. So the very first one is from JP on Twitter, and he's at JP Vanilla Gorilla. But anyway, he says, and this one might fit you right now. Not that you're doing this, but this could be something that you could do while you're hurt right now. He says, what's up, fellas? Was Wolfie ever into video games? If so, what series was he into? I still think the Sega / Super Nintendo era is the best.
So Sega, you know, me and Jamie used to carry one of those around with us.
Yeah.
We played the heavyweight boxing, whatever the name of that was, Greatest Heavyweights. We played that a lot. But as far as like, me by myself, I got into Halo a lot. And then what is that one called? There was three editions of it. It was in space, and you got your crew and everything. Oh God, I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. Oh, and I love it. If you wouldn't ask me this, I would have been able to rattle it off.
Okay, pretend like we didn't ask.
No, hang on. We're gonna think of this. Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. Okay, nice. Okay. Yeah, I never played that, but that always looked fun, man. For sure.
That was really awesome. I got into that. It's like three editions of it, I think. And I think they did it on purpose. And yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I tell you what, man, I was always a big fan of the old stuff. Like, I loved Mario Kart. Like, to this day, I can go into a room, and I'm not joking. They had it on the Switch, you know, the Nintendo Switch, my whole family, my brother, my son, my niece, my nephew, they were all there. And I played one game, and I was horrible, but I figured out the controllers. The next game, I smoked them all, man. I'm just like, in my family, I'm the best. I'm just saying it. I'm the best. But anyway.
I know my daughter got into Guitar Hero when she was younger.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That was fun. We played.
Yeah, man.
I've always been a Madden guy.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
dude, you have to play that and be good at it somewhat. I didn't ever play Mario Kart, but I did obviously play Super Mario, Mike Tyson's Punch Out, Double Dragon, Contra.
Yeah, was amazing. Yeah, loved Contra. Yeah, Metroid. It was hard. Yeah,
Metroid, I love that one. But yeah, so those are some of my man, and I still got an Xbox, but I just can't play them as much. I don't get into them as much. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what it is. I mean, seriously, I have a PS4 that's a Blu-ray player, basically. So, yeah.
Well, that's what I was into, JP.
All right. Well, thank you, JP. Yeah, we definitely appreciate that question. That one was a good one, and especially while you're hurt right now, maybe that in the future you should get a video game system set up there for you. So, all right. So the next one is from Marty Confetti on Twitter, and it's at I Broke Wahoo's Egg. Yeah. And so in Power Pro, Wolfie switched to long tights that said underrated on them, yet he still carried the hubcap. What was up with that look?
Transition. I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. I didn't want to do PG no more because I felt like, and I've said this 100 times, I felt like at a certain point it had run its course and I had outgrown the gimmick, but I didn't know. I hadn't come up with Slash yet, basically.
Right.
And what I was doing there wasn't really working. I just didn't know what to do as far as either trying to still be just an older Wolfie or just change my shit, which I ended up doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you were just in a transition stage. We've talked about this several times, actually. And, you didn't know where you were going exactly with it. The Slash was coming soon, but not quite there yet. Right. Yeah.
Figured it out.
But hey, I like that you had underrated on the tights. So,
yeah. Yeah. Some people got it. Some people didn't.
I like it. All right. Well, our third and final question of the day is from Fedor316 on Instagram. And he asked this question. He's awesome. He's a Mac A. Ronin. He's got some cool stuff all the time and questions. And we definitely appreciate you being a great listener. He says, hey, guys, I really enjoyed the Outlaw Joel Deaton interview. His stories about Japan made me think of a question for Ask Wolfie. He says, we all know Wolfie was wrestled for almost every promotion that's existed in the last 30 years, but did he ever have any interest in going to Japan? Looking back, does he wish he had gone, or is he glad he didn't? Thanks. Love the show.
No, I absolutely wish I could have gotten that opportunity, man. Something presented itself one time, and then it fell through. And that's really about it, man. I mean, and also too, how can I put this? Like, we were working Memphis. We were the Memphis tag team in the 90s. And, we had that was our gravy train. You know what I mean?
Right.
And to leave them would have, looking back on it, they ended up going out of business and all that. But that was our home. And we would have had to, let's say we'd have done good over there. And yeah, we'd have made more money and all that. But it just wasn't on the radar as far as like, oh, we've got to do this. So that wasn't in our brains. If we got to go to Japan. And like I say, I wish I would have. I'd love to, for nothing else, just to see the place,
Right.
I really like that. But it just didn't work out, man, for me in that, in doing that. And it seemed like, during that time too, the Americans, a little before that, everybody's getting paid. And then it kind of, I don't want to say the money ran out, but unless you were like a huge name, you weren't going to get all that money that everybody that went got before,
Right. Right.
I wish I could have, but I didn't.
When you said that possibility, even the talk of it came up, was that PG-13 time or was that after?
It was me and Doug were gonna go, because he went all the time, and I don't know if he was just promising me something he couldn't deliver on or what happened there. I don't know.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, that's too bad. I think I could see the PG-13 gimmick getting over like gangbusters over there, and then I can also see the Slash gimmick doing Yeah, but I mean, I could see either one going over like gangbusters. I think both of them would have done well. And I think, I mean, do you feel like you have a bit of an incomplete story because you didn't go?
Maybe somewhat, yeah. But, I mean, I don't guess Japan really makes an American wrestler. But, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there's several guys that never went. And, yeah. You know, that's the thing. But I don't know. There's something about it. It feels like that's part of the story that maybe, I don't know. I just, now that I think about it more, I feel like y'all could have really done well over there, actually. But,
yeah.
Yeah,
we did everywhere else. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you did Puerto Rico, Mexico. Why not do Japan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine the young PG-13 being let loose in Tokyo, though, man? Woo!
It could have been bad. It could have been bad in Mexico and Puerto Rico.
It could have been, yeah.
It almost did go bad in Puerto Rico, but... I guess it did. Not almost, it did.
Yeah.
And some of the scenarios in Degum, Mexico make me think, whew, what was I thinking? What were we thinking?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that ain't no place to play, man.
No, definitely not today, especially.
I think when I talked about Mexico, so the promoter that we went over there for, Minez, I had always heard that, you know, they do a lot of kidnapping for ransom in Mexico. And, yeah. I'd always heard that he got kidnapped. Well, I talked to Bull Payne. It just happened to pop up on the Facebook, and we sent a couple of messages back and forth. And he's like, "No, they kidnapped his kid, and I think he paid the ransom, and they still didn't return the kid." And mine has never promoted again from what Bull's telling me. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I just got that a few weeks ago. I just heard that.
That's nuts, man. That is definitely not something to be played with for sure, man. That's brutal. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, hey, I don't want to beat you up, especially since you're on your
already beat up.
Yeah, you're already beat up and recovering right now. So that's all we got for today. Thank you all for the great questions. Definitely appreciate y'all. And we appreciate you for coming out of this operating room alive, one, and two, that you did this show with us.
It's always a weird feeling going under, ain't it?
Yeah,
you really don't know it. You know you're fixing to, but you never really feel it.
Yeah.
You know, you just hope going in that they can wake my ass up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's their job, to wake you up. It's not really to put you to sleep. It's more to wake you up, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, we're glad you're doing better, brother. Hopefully soon you'll be walking around and perfect again.
So. Yeah, man. Hopefully so. We thank Baby Doll. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you all the listeners for the well wishes. And thank you for listening this week. And we'll be back next week with more Live and in Color.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school, but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes, and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah.
This is your rock star ring announcer, Aaron Camaro. I'm a man who believes the two greatest art forms ever created are professional wrestling and heavy rock music. So when I'm not hosting the best parties that also happen to be live professional wrestling shows, I'm hosting the Decibel Geek Podcast. Decibel Geek is a weekly podcast that features discussions of all things rock. We're talking the Beatles, the Stones, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, Black Sabbath, Kiss, Ozzy, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Alice in Chains, Pantera, and everything in between. Plus, we'll turn you on to new bands from today that have the same spirit and style that the legends do. Decibel Geek is hosted by myself along with Rockin' Pod founder Chris Sinzak, and each week you'll get interviews with famous musicians and industry insiders along with informative, entertaining, humorous, and insightful discussions, and most importantly, a passion for the music. So if you love to rock out as much as I do, then this is your invitation to the greatest rock and roll party in all of podcasting. It's Decibel Geek, and it's available right now on all major podcast platforms. Oh yeah.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
For your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth, still livin' in color. Don't rush your mother, utilize a hubcap, I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. and I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times, tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more force than Obi-Wan or Vader. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh? I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.